Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Empower yourself today and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn by searching Get Legally Speaking to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. With over 3 million downloads and counting, do not miss out on learning more about a topic that interests you. Go over to our website at getlegallyspeaking.com and browse over 100 podcast episodes. Hello and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be on divorce, the new no-fault divorce law. I am joined by Kate Daly from a company called Amicable. Kate is the co-founder of Amicable, which provides a service that enables couples to separate without lawyers. She has spoken passionately in the media about changing the narrative around divorce and has featured on The One Show, Woman's Hour and ITV News. In 2019, Kate successfully challenged the legal status quo, preventing couples from working together on their divorces, and won the endorsement of the High Court for Amicable's services. Kate also hosts the Divorce Podcast, where she discusses divorce, separation, and co-parenting with a variety of experts and celebrities, with many sharing their own journeys around these topics. Kate is a resolution-trained family consultant and worked with many of London's top collaborative lawyers prior to starting Amicable in 2015. Kate, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Hattie. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, on the 6th of April 2022 this year, changes will come into place to our divorce laws that will see its biggest shake-up for the past 50 years. The Act for the Law to be Changed was passed in England and Wales in June 2020, and no-fault divorce will finally be introduced. With the average divorce rate being 33% in the UK, these changes are much awaited and welcomed. So, Kate, let's talk about and explain to our listeners, what is meant by the term no-fault divorce? What does that actually mean?
Okay, well, I feel like we should cheer when you say that it's here at last. It has been a very long wait, and as you say, it's the most seismic change for 50 years in the divorce law. So, it feels like there should be a drum roll, but effectively, no-fault divorce will finally end what's been termed the blame game. So couples will be able to separate without placing blame on each other, which is what they have to do now. So currently, under the system and the law as it works now, you either have to have been separated for 2 years if you both agree to the divorce, or 5 years if only one of you wants it. Otherwise, if you can't fulfill those separation criteria, you have to blame your partner for the breakdown in the marriage in order to access a divorce. So that means you have to write what's called an unreasonable behaviour statement, where you list out the behaviour that your partner's engaged in, which means you feel you shouldn't have to stay married to them. Or you have to divorce your partner because they've been unfaithful. Now, the key thing with that is you can only do that if you're in a heterosexual partnership or marriage, because the laws of adultery don't apply in same-sex couples. So already it's problematic because it doesn't apply to so many people. But essentially, you have to blame your partner with unreasonable behaviour, or there has to have been adultery, or you have to be being separated for 2 or 5 years. So that all finishes in April. So on April the 6th, a couple will simply be able to give notice, and only one of you will have to do that, to give notice that the marriage has broken down. And then there'll be what's been termed a reflection period. So you'll issue a divorce, so you'll do a petition just the same as normal. You'll then have to wait 20 weeks from when that divorce is issued before you can then go on and ask the court to make what will be called a conditional order and then a final order.
Yes, and additionally, one of the other big changes are that couples will be able to make joint applications for divorce as well.
I mean,
absolutely. So this is the most exciting bit from our perspective, because you know, I work with couples all of the time. We offer a couples service. So the law is finally catching up with what we've been doing for a while, which is encouraging people to work together rather than go to two separate camps, two separate lawyers, and to try and fight it out. So for the first time as a couple, you'll be able to make a joint application, and that's where you'll both submit a petition. There'll be applicant one and applicant two. You'll both then submit the petition to give notice to the court that you would like to divorce. So again, you'll wait that 20-week period, just the same as you would in a sole application. But at the end of 20 weeks, either one of you will be able to make the application for the conditional order. The other one will also have to make it, but it doesn't matter who does it or who goes first. And then again, you'll get your conditional order as a couple. So it will stop. It will effectively, it will stop one person having to be the petitioner. That term will go. They'll be called the applicant. But also it means that it will be more reflective for, you know, the situation lots of people face. You know, I don't know about you, Hattie, but lots of people come to me and they say, well, it's no one's fault. We've just fallen out of love. So for those people, for the first time, they'll have a legal system that reflects their reality, which I think is, you know, as you say, very much to be welcomed.
Well, that's it. I mean, you mentioned briefly there the headings that currently, and obviously before the 6th of April this year, that have to be used when you're saying why you want your divorce, such as adultery, desertion, and unreasonable behaviour. But do you think that having to label a breakup of a marriage by outlining the negatives and essentially the distressing parts of the marriage has been a cause for further friction between couples who have applied for divorce up until now?
Yes, I do. I think if you think about it, when you're starting off a divorce, if the first thing you've got to do is apportion blame, then when you actually come to negotiating your children arrangements or your financial arrangements, you're already in a bit of an uncomfortable place. You're not starting from the best possible place. Ultimately, what we've seen is that blaming your spouse in the divorce leads to a breakdown in communication, a breakdown in the ability to do your children or financial arrangements together. It requires and pushes many more people into an already overburdened court system where they really shouldn't be and don't need to be, other than they've had to start by blaming one another and stoking kind of conflict and fueling the flames of dissent. So I think if you can start off on the right foot without having to go through that process, many more people will have the opportunity to sort out their children and financial arrangements together in a form of negotiation or mediation process, which has to be better, because ultimately, if you're parents, you need to preserve your co-parenting relationship. If it's all fallen apart because you've been in a battle over, you know, who did what to who and therefore how the marriage broke down, you've already undermined your ability to operate in the best interests of your children. And that's ultimately where we need to shift this whole system and this whole narrative.
I mean, it's a difficult time anyway. I am yet, in a decade of doing this, doing the business in my law firm, I yet to see a couple who are actually not upset with each other, perhaps not under stress and pressure, whether they have children or not, or young children or not, you know, dependent children or not. So in the example that you gave, where couples turn up and say, look, we've just fallen out of love, you know, and we want to move on, It must have been, because I haven't had any clients that have said we've just fallen out of love. There's always sort of a story and details. It must have been really difficult for those people to fill out the divorce petition up to date, because you had to have found a problems and issues and outline those. And the court has to say, yes, well, I find that to be acceptable.
Yeah, I agree. And also, you know, the difference between what might have been going on between you and then seeing it in black and white in print and that landing on your doormat is quite different, isn't it? Even if you know ultimately that there have been behavioural issues, when you then put it down in print for people, it does nothing other than undermine their ability to move on and move past. And, you know, divorce is a hugely emotional, upsetting issue in it of itself and in itself. To then make it punitive and to add to that just seems very counterintuitive.
And counterproductive for the court system as well. You know, you don't, the court doesn't really want people turning up at each other's throats, but the process, so to speak, has of applying for your divorce kind of sets that out from the offset, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And it, you know, there's a whole bunch of statistics around, you know, children act proceedings that show you're more likely to end up in children act proceedings if you've had a rough ride on the finances in your divorce as well. So it just feeds the system. And also, if you've ended up having to have a judge decide how you should split your finances rather than you deciding, you've ceded control to somebody who doesn't really know your family and doesn't know your circumstances and might have 20 minutes to look at your paperwork, if you're lucky, before they have to come into a court and you know, pass judgment. So it's much better if we can encourage people and equip people with a process and then the tools to be able to stay engaged in the process, work through it, work with each other, and come to a good outcome for their families.
No, absolutely. I hear you very loudly and clearly. And, you know, it is almost sort of the unheard of being amicable in a divorce. But I tell you, the more amicable people can be, the less it will cost them, certainly in legal fees, the less time it is likely to take, rather than literally arguing every point of separation out. And we've all, you know, and I've said this in many podcasts before, that the finances and the financial divorce aspect of your divorce literally is completely separate from your marriage and your actual divorce in that sense. And it all does trigger out. And you mentioned that the statistics around children's proceedings saying if you're arguing about the finances in courts and through the court system, then you're likely to have issues with child arrangements. I've seen it. I've seen it flow through.
Yeah.
And nobody's a winner. Honestly, nobody wins in those situations. I've seen lots of cases that should have really ended a lot sooner than what they did. But how do you think this will affect couples that have been contemplating for divorce for some time, in the sense that do you think there are people waiting for this new law to be passed on the 6th of April before they proceeded with their divorce? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think there are. I think there's certainly, you know, in our business, in Amicable, we've had a lot of people who are waiting for no-default divorce.
Oh, wow.
Part of the issue is the government did originally think that the law would be up and running by October last year. Mm. So there were a whole bunch of people when the law was originally passed, the timetable was October 2021.
Yes.
And that obviously, for the pandemic and all other sorts of reasons, just didn't happen. So we know that there are already people who've been in touch and who are waiting because they see this as a very positive thing. They don't want any formal note to say that one person was the cause of the breakdown of the marriage. They want to be able to come at this from a very even-handed perspective and therefore are prepared to wait because it's important. So we have got a lot of people who've made inquiries and are waiting, and we're, you know, putting plans in place to be able to process those petitions as quickly as possible once the deadline is live. But I think the other side of that coin is one of the big differences in the new laws is that a divorce will take a lot longer than it does now. So we have this 20-week cooling off period or reflection period that's going to come in, and that will run from when the divorce is issued. After that 20-week period, you still, like you do now, have to apply for a conditional order. Once you have your conditional order, there is already a break period where you have to wait 6 weeks and one day before you can apply for your final order. So added to the 20 weeks, there's a further 6 weeks wait, which is as it is now. And then there's the processing time to get it started, the processing time to actually get the conditional order. So when you add it up, the minimum amount of time it will take to get a divorce under the new law will be 30 weeks. By contrast, if you do it under the old system, it's about 14, 15 weeks. So the amount of time it will take will double. So in addition to having people who are waiting for no-fault divorce, we also have a group of people who want to get the divorce done as quickly as possible. Maybe they've been separated for a long period of time. They've just never got round to it. They might have new partners or weddings and things that have been booked. And all of a sudden, for those people, it's very important to do it under the old law and to get things through as quickly as possible. So there are two different camps, some people who are waiting and some people who are now scrabbling around to get their divorce done as quickly as possible. And for that group, I think one of the key things to say is, although the new law comes in on the 6th of April, there is a cut-off date of the 31st of March. So 4 p.m. on the 31st of March is the last opportunity you have to submit your petition.
So, under the old rules.
Under the old rules.
Yes.
So if you have booked your wedding already, you still need to get divorced.
Yes.
Or you're in a category where you don't want to wait.
Or you can just have the party, Kate. You can just have the party and do the civil bit. I mean, we're talking about it taking longer, and absolutely I agree with the examples that you've given. People that are sorted out their finances, they're just literally waiting to do, the marriage bit of it. But then the reality for those people who are starting from afresh, and if there is friction, dealing with your finances and making sure those are actually agreed on how your assets and liabilities are going to be divided could take a long time if you're arguing it out. So, for example, if they come to Amicable, a service like yours, and they are assisted in coming to an agreement together without having to issue proceedings because one partner's saying, I'm not giving you the house or that kind of percentage in the house and I'm not giving you those savings and you're not taking this and you're not having that, that's when actually, irrespective of what's going on with the divorce process, your finances are going to take much longer and you should never apply for the final order. That, by the way, replaces the decree absolute, which is what we know forever as the end of the marriage. It's now replaced by something called the decree, the final order. Until your finances are agreed with your partner, you have something called a consent order drawn up, sealed by the court, so it's legally binding. And then you should say, right, let's get the final order there. But those couples that absolutely are just waiting for the marriage to be, dealt with by petition of divorce, I get it. It is double the time.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting what you say, because I think we use the term getting divorced colloquially, don't we? Like everyday language, we use it to mean everything: divorce, finances, kids, everything. But in legal terms, getting a divorce is just the legal unpicking of the marriage. It doesn't include finances or arrangements for children or anything else. So there is a terminology thing there, absolutely. And if you are wanting a divorce and wanting to sort out finances, then this 20-week reflection period provides that perfect opportunity, if you're both on the same page, to be able to do that. So in that sense, if you've got finances to do, it might not take any longer. Certainly coming through our kind of service where we're working with both of you together, we would typically finish a divorce within between 6 and 9 months with finances and children issues. So it's a lot quicker than going through the court or arguing it out, with two separate sides. But I think it is really important just to highlight and to say, if you just get divorced, i.e. you just do the unpicking of the marriage, that doesn't end your financial claims against each other. So those financial claims remain open. So 10, 15, 20 years after the divorce, you could still have a situation, and indeed there was a very famous case recently, wasn't there?
Yes, there's a few over the years.
Where a partner claims against you. And the only way to stop that is if you've effectively both remarried. But if you're not remarried, the claims remain open. So just getting a divorce isn't enough if you have got property and financial assets. The best way of protecting yourself then is to have, as you said, this process called getting a consent order.
Yes.
Where you agree between you how you're going to divide assets, and you have what's called a clean break put in place so that you stop the potential of either of you for claiming again in the future.
Yes, no, indeed. I mean, these are all very interesting things, and it kind of doesn't surprise me that this is the biggest change in divorce law in 50 years, but then it kind of does, Because a lot's happened in 50 years.
I know.
You know, the internet was born in the last 50 years, and so much technology has taken us, you know, full speed forward, and we're still going at that pace, but yet it's taken 50 years for a major change. But it's all good to see that it's happening. But let's talk about Amicable. Kate, tell me about Amicable and the main goals of your service and how you help people and where they can get hold of you.
So, I mean, Amicable exists to help people who either aspire to be, because not everybody is amicable at the start, we get that, or who are already amicable and want to work together to sort out their divorce, separation, or co-parenting arrangements. So we help couples, essentially, and that's, you know, quite a big deal, because we had to go to the High Court to prove that we weren't breaking any laws or that this was a really legitimate way of working. And the High Court has ratified our approach to say, actually, yeah, a couple service that isn't based on having two individual lawyers fighting it out for you is a really good way forward and keeps the cost down and makes sure that costs are proportionate. So we've set up in that way. It's a lawyer-free service. We'll help you with doing your divorce petitions. We'll help with sorting out financial arrangements, sorting out children arrangements. We have a really lovely co-parenting app called Amicable Co-Parenting that you can download for free wherever you get your apps from. And it's a free 30-day trial, and then you pay for it after that. But again, that helps parents communicate, and it helps manage that journey from parent to co-parent as well, because no one talks about that. You just wake up one day in your divorce and suddenly you've got to be a co-parent, and there are some really kind of subtle and different rules about co-parenting that are different to parenting. So the app helps you navigate those. It helps you put in patterns for childcare. It gives some suggestions if you want suggestions, or allows you to freeform if you've got your own pattern already worked out. It has a shared calendar. It keeps all your chat about
As you're telling me about this app, honestly, I can already think of my ex-clients of how that would have massively benefited, because the amount of phone calls and bits in my law firm that I've had to deal with saying, he doesn't agree to have the kids every other weekend, and, you know, or she won't let me take them to tennis club, or he's insisting that I pick them up every day. And it's just, if there's, I know it sounds a bit robotic, right? Because when you think of life, children, co-parenting, the stresses of the divorce and separation, everybody's trying to get on their feet financially again after the financial separation. And then you think, well, how is an app going to help me with my children and my ex-partner? And I have to tell you, if there's somewhere where they can communicate where their voices are not heard with each other, so they can't, you know, get at each other's throats and just say, this is my suggestion for just like school pickups. Here's my suggestion for alternative weekends, or actually next year, or for the Easter holidays, this is what I would like to do. I can honestly tell you, something as simple as that, I know would be a great help to a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think, you know, we do a lot of pre-filled content, so the tone is already right, so you don't have to worry about how it comes across and that kind of stuff, because that's so important.
Yes.
So just small things like that, I think, can make a very big difference.
Absolutely. I see it. I see it in my line of work.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realise you don't have to have a lawyer when you get divorced. There are alternative ways of sorting things out, and if you can negotiate or mediate, then you keep control of the process rather than giving your power away to a judge, as I said before, who doesn't know you, doesn't know your family, and who will just do a kind of a complete look at every single issue. Whereas with mediation or negotiation services like ours, you've got the opportunity to say what you've already agreed and then just work on the bits that you're not quite sure on, and you can get some information and help around what the court would expect in terms of what's fair and what's reasonable. Because again, I think another kind of myth, if we're going to bust some myths here, is that, you know, you can have whatever you want in a consent order, whereas actually
the court has to agree.
The court has to approve it, and yes, the court has to think that it's fair under English and Welsh law. Well, if you're just making a kitchen table agreement between the two of you, it's quite hard to know what English and Welsh law says about dividing assets and pensions and things. And you know, if you need that help and information and that advice in a service like ours, where you can come together and hear that information together.
And one that diffuses it.
Hearing your best case scenario from a lawyer, then that, I think, makes a very big difference in terms of how you can come together to agree things and compromise.
I think one of the biggest values, if I can say with Amicable, Kate, is that you diffuse, you help to diffuse the situation. And that's massive because I tell you, 10 years of running Red Bar Law, I have seen more matches being lit on the other side than, you know, the other side picking up to us and saying, look, how can we best sort this out for these clients? What is it here? Where's the gap? How can we close this gap? Whereas a service that's saying, look, we're working for both of you, both parties can feel assured that you are there to help and assist and diffuse the situation. And I say it again, it will cost less than two parties having two separate legal firms with potentially two separate barristers and court proceedings that will no doubt go beyond a single hearing and, you know, can go up to many hearings if there's lots of directions, hearings and all sorts of things going on, rather than you sitting down and thinking, right, we've gone to a service where they are genuinely here to advise us both equally on the same level. No one's got an advantage.
You know, I think we always say divorce is an emotional issue with legal and financial consequences. So what we do that other people don't do is we attend to that emotional journey. That's our role. Because if you can manage the emotion, the law is easy by comparison.
Yes,
it really is. In divorce cases, what makes a divorce case complex is not offshore trust or very complicated assets. That's not the complexity. The complexity is the emotional stakes. And if you've got somebody who's in a very bad, tumultuous emotional state, it's incredibly difficult to get to an agreement. So working on that emotional state, working with both people to try and get a relationship that is cordial and rational, and therefore you can help them negotiate. That's the absolute key. But, you know, it's not for everybody. I know we've talked before, haven't we? There are some cases where if one person is, you know, suffering from some form of emotional, financial, physical abuse, or where there are issues of non-disclosure, those sorts of cases, then it is right that you seek the protection of a solicitor in the court for those sorts of cases.
Absolutely.
But, you know, for a huge majority of people, you don't need to go down that route, and you can head off bad behaviour by finding a process where you can manage the emotions as well as managing the, you know, legal journey as well. And I think that's key.
I get it. I've got it. Kate, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Brilliant. It's lovely to be here. If people are interested in Amicable, they can visit us at amicable.co.uk. I'm also on Twitter, Kate@_daily. And you can follow our podcast on thedivorcepodcast.com.
Lovely.
Thanks for having me, Patty. It's lovely to talk to you.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you. And what I'll say to our listeners is don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcast. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.
Empower yourself today and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube and LinkedIn by searching Get Legally Speaking to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. With over 3 million downloads and counting, do not miss out on learning more about a topic that interests you. Go over to our website at getlegallyspeaking.com and browse over 100 podcast episodes. Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com.